The next thing we're going to try to cover, Mr. Shem, in the area of tefillah, trying to make tefillah a little bit more of a powerful experience for all of us, okay? And guess God does answer our prayers, Scott. And the next thing we're going to try to cover, there's really two things I want to try, at minimum two things we're going to try to do, two very different ideas, but two very, very important ideas. That says basically like this, that there's a very, very famous Reb Chaim. The truth is, this Reb Chaim is a what we call like a learning sugya in and of itself. And we're not going to do all the details in terms of the exact sugya that the Reb Chaim is in and the halachas that are there back and forth. But there's a chiddush that Reb Chaim has that really very, very much changes the nature of our tefillah and more importantly, the experience of our tefillah and how a tefillah can become something that we actually really feel a wow from and feel that we're gaining from. That comes out of this particular Reb Chaim. It says basically like this. The Reb Chaim points out, I'll give you very, very quickly outside it. It's actually relatively simple to say over. We're not reading really inside except for the couple of lines that are bold over here. But again, as with everything else, take the time on your own to read the entire thing. Reb Chaim points out there's a very, very basic, what seems to be a contradiction in a Rambam. And it's debatable. A lot of other Rambam discuss whether or not this is really a contradiction. And that one, the one in the Rambam quotes a very, very well-known halacha that we've all heard of, all rely upon, and all, use, unfortunately, all too often. The halacha brings down the idea that even though a person is supposed to have a kavana while he's davening, but the one bracha, at least what we pass in halacha l'maisa, the one bracha that the kavana is ma'akim on is the bracha of avos, and if he has kavana by there, then he's fine. The Shemoneh Esrei, he was yotzei that Shemoneh Esrei, even if he was spaced out and wasn't really focusing on the other brachas of afterwards, it's still going to be okay. And on the other hand, the Rambam brings the halacha, also says very clearly that kavana, having intention and focus and concentration during davening, the way the Lashon Rabbah, the way the Rambam brings this down is that having kavana is ma'akev the entire Shemoneh Esrei. The person who doesn't have kavana during the Shemoneh Esrei, he's not going to be yotzei at all. And if Chaim points out, it sounds like you're saying two different things. How do we reconcile the two? And they're all different explanations. What exactly the Rambam is trying to bring out. The Chazon Ish had a pshat in the Rambam Reis Soloveitchik the quote unquote our Reis Soloveitchik had a pshat in the Rambam in the Shirim Zeichel Avim Mori. Reb Chaim has his own pshat. There's a lot of ideas that are thrown about this Rambam. But obviously, I want to focus on this Reb Chaim here because it brings out a point that I really think can, if we work on, can change the person's tefillah quite a bit. And Reb Chaim points out as follows in a classic of Bris Kavod, and again, I'm hoping that you've heard about this Reb Chaim before. The Reb Chaim points out there are two forms of kavana that exist that a person can have it during davening. One of them is mega important, and without which you can't be yotzei b'tefillah. And the other one is a detail within the halachas of tefillah, which is going to be less important and doesn't govern the entire tefillah word by word from start to finish. And that's as follows. The Chaim says there is an idea of kavana that Chazal used the expression to mean when a person is focusing on the meaning of the words that he's saying. Am I focused on what I'm saying? Do I know what I'm saying? Do I understand the words, etc.? Understand the context, all that kind of stuff. There, Reb Chaim explains that's the classic halacha that kind of kavana only has to be had during the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei b'di'evet. In other words, the chatzila, obviously you want to know everything that's going on during the Shemoneh Esrei. But b'di'evet, as long as the first bracha was intact entirely, so then already you're going to be okay, and the person is yotzei the davening. But Reb Chaim says it's something much, much greater than that when it comes to davening. If you don't have this, a davening is an absolute zero. That is what we're going to read up on top of here, so let's jump inside on the top of page 7. The Nira de Kavana Zu Eino Midin was a Kavana Zu Eino Midin Kavana. Says Reb Chaim, what it appears to me that there's an idea over here of a kind of quote end quote Kavana that has nothing to do with the idea of having focus and intention during davening. Not a side detail. Rakshumi etzem maisa tefillah. There's something that is the very intrinsic nature, the essence of the davening itself, much greater than a detail within Hilchos Tefillah. Then ein liba panui. The ein roes asma sha'omi lefnei Hashem. Umisparal. If a person doesn't focus his heart on the idea that he's standing in front of Hashem davening to him, Ein zeh ma'isa tefila. That is not even called, Reb Chaim says, a act of tefila in the slightest bit. How you bechlam is asik de'ein bo din ma'isa. That's called doing something without even having the actions attributed to a meaningless action, meaningless movement, nothing of significance. In other words, says Reb Chaim, tefila basically means, and he elaborates on this idea as time goes on, the basic concept of tefillah that a person has to have when he's having it is, I right now I'm standing talking in front of the creator of the world. I am talking to God. The easy expression for all to use, I'm omed lefnei, Chaim says the expression also a little bit earlier, I'm omed lefnei hashchina. I'm standing right in front of, talking to, encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says Reb Chaim, a very interesting Kiddush over here, that every moment during the Shemona Esrei, a person at very least subconsciously has to be aware of who it is that he's standing in front of. And the moment that he's just saying words, he's reading the book, he's just saying things, but he's thinking about something else, etc. Says Reb Chaim, that's, it's not that you didn't have Kavana during your davening. You weren't even davening in the slightest bit. It's like you were just sitting back, or whatever, just playing a computer game, and that's it. Davening, by definition, means I'm aware that I'm encountering the divine, that I'm standing there relating to a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. And without that, I have an incredible zero. And the truth of the matter is, although the Reb Chaim here is not a mutter saver, but it's an incredible idea, if you think about it, with that thought, forget about whether or not all night I can translate all the words in the bracha of Vilam al Shinim, or whatever bracha it is that gives us a problem. But if I have that thought during davening, I know that for X amount of time, whether it's a 5 minutes from now, say a 10 minute or beyond or less, I actually had this feeling that, wow, I just did something important. I just stood in front of the Melech Malchei Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that in and of itself is a very important mindset for a person to be able to have. Whether or not, and again on various levels, there's an issue of strengthening a person's emunah when he has that thought. Yeah, you know what? I actually just made a statement. I'm Omei, I'm standing in front of God. I believe in that God. That's someone I actually think is deserving of speaking to. Whether or not that serves to elevate a person a little bit more, that he actually, hopefully someday, will come to a level where he actually feels uplifted by that experience, that the wow, oh my gosh, I actually just stood there in close proximity to a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, and you feel that exhalation. That might be, there's a beautiful, beautiful story, Chassidish story, but it's a beautiful story though, that's about the cousin of Magid, one of the great Chassidish rabbis, who lived to a very old age. And someone once asked him, people didn't always live but so old, and someone once asked him a classic question, what did you do, how were you supposed to be so old? And he said as follows, that I'll tell you why. Most people out here in this world, as most everyone in this world, has some kind of tafkis, some kind of purpose that they're meant to be fulfilling. The person is working on themselves, working on an issue, developing, etc. Says the Kodesh to Micah, but see, I have something a little bit different, I think. I think this is why I've been told to live such a long time. Says the Kodesh to Micah, every single time that I daven, 3 times a day during the week, 4 times on Shabbat, every single time that I daven, and I'm standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I'm aware, obviously, as we're about to hear, very consciously, very, very acutely aware that I'm standing in front of God Himself, or God Almighty, as the Shabbat called Him yesterday, when I'm standing in front of God Almighty, and I'm speaking to Him, I begin to realize how lacking I am, how far from the mark I actually am, from who I'm supposed to be, and I realize that I have to change something, I have to work it, I have to improve, something has to be different after this diamond. And after every single Shemona Esrei I daven, I end up with a new Kabbalah, a new thing that I accept upon myself, a new Madrega, a new Halacha to be careful about, a new Madrega in thought and in purity, etc. And says the Kodesh and Magid, what it basically turns out is that I'm never the same person from davening to davening. So it's not that, oh, you have this person over here and he's around for 80 years or 70 years or whatever it is. But by me, I'm always different every single day, constantly. So I was given a tzchus to live a little bit longer because there's always, always, always a new vista and a new thing to challenge me and to a new occasion to rise to. That's a pretty powerful kind of a statement to be able to make. I met once met one of his grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, whatever, is also Chassidish Rebbe, told me that they, at least in his family line, that they tried very hard to try to upkeep that kind of a practice. But that really is just an offshoot of the idea that we just said in the Reb Chaim. If I really, really honestly felt, wow, I'm standing in front of God right now, And forget about anything deep, just a simple, simple thought. This is what I'm doing. That is really, in all honesty, very enlightening and a very powerful experience. What was that?
According to Rafaim, if you like say you were thinking about the ball game, whatever, something like that, during davening, would you have to daven again if you realize that after?
It's hard, you know, according to Reb Chaim, again, whether or not we hold like this, Allah, Allah, might, like I right. pointed out, there many other explanations about these Rambams. According to Reb Chaim, if you miss a, well, listen carefully, I'm going to phrase it. If you miss a key part of the davening because you're thinking about a ball game, you miss one of the brachas, you miss one of the sections that's like essential to say during davening, if you left it out, you'd have to daven again. Then, yeah, you would end up having to daven again. Now, if you mamash just missed the boat, again, coming back to Vilam Al-Shini, unless you were thinking about the ball game and then entire bracha start to finish, miss the entire thing, yep, you didn't daven a shmonesh, you got to do it again. Yeah, that's something to think about. We should try to not be in those in that situation
right.
as much as possible. But that is what the Reb Chaim says. But that is one area though in Hilchos Tefillah that I think is very simple for everyone to try to be working on over here. Instead of jumping for all the deep things and perhaps even maybe even impossible things for us to accomplish right now, the simple thought that at very least when we're starting off the davening to say, who am I talking to over here? What am I doing? Right? That's something that is, again, as with everything else, thought makes a big difference, and that over here is going to really change around the tefillah as well. But I want to move into something else. A Rabbeinu Yonah, in the beginning of Masechta Brachos, that's, again, that really is, it's, first of all, it's absolutely beautiful, this Rabbeinu Yonah, but it's also very important as well. There's a halacha in Hilchos Tefillah. Again, just another way to show us how the tefillah can become an experience of something that's meaningful to us and a real act, like we spoke about the other day, of a vodah, of actually serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu through the tefillah in a very deep way. The Ben Yonah is discussing a halacha called smichas and geula the tefillah. Are we familiar with what that halacha is?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so what is it?
You should dive in, let's say it's...
Okay, very good. Right before the person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, at least by Shacharis and by Ma'ariv, the way we would seem to hold, that a person is supposed to have a Shacharis, it's even the Eved that has to be by Ma'ariv, it's a Machlokas, and we hold at least a Katzchila. We have to have a juxtaposition, a smichot, between the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, the brachos of Kriya Shemoneh. Let's speak about the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the tefillah that we're about to daven. In other words, a discussion about Yetzias Mitzrayim has to precede of the tefillah. Again, in Chazal's Lashon, it's called Smichas Geula LaTefillah. And the Gemara makes a very, 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 very bold statement on Daf Beis Amud Beis in Masechta Brachah. I'm just giving you a Daf Amud Beis in Masechta Brachah. The Gemara says, Ezehu ben Olam Haba, which guy out there in the world is going to merit Olam Haba? There are so many Gulu the tefillah shal arvus, and Rashi adds kol shekein shachris. If a person does smichas gulu the tefillah, gets a ticket into olam haba. That's the line in the Gemara. But Ben Yonah, in his commentary in the back of Masechta Brachos, asked the obvious question over here. That's all that it takes. That you have a free ticket to olam haba just because you basically daven out of the sitter and do the normal thing that everyone else in the world does. That sounds a little bit crazy to make such a comment. How could that possibly be? Ben Yonah says the following explanation, and again, it's really, really beautiful, and if a person has so many things that we've been speaking about in these early morning shiurim over here, if a person's aware, not just of what to do, but why he's doing it, what the idea behind the halacha is, it totally changes around our keeping and our appreciation, obviously, of that halacha as well. Ben Yonah explains that a person has to understand what the idea of the smichas gula the tefillah is all about. And the way he wants to understand what that is like this. When a person is davening, speaking about the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, okay, whether it's in the last paragraph of Kriya Shema, in the bracha that follows, or the brachos that follow after the Kriya Shema, what the person is basically doing when he discusses Yetzias Mitzrayim, and let's remember that Ramban that we had learned last week, is making a very, very important statement about what we'll call right now the Ikarei HaEmunah, the basics of our belief as Jews. We believe that a Kaddish Baruch Hu exists. We saw that in Yetzias Mitzrayim. He has the Hashgacha Pratis. He's omnipotent. He can do absolutely anything, etc. He redeemed us. And basically, the recognition is that a person will have is that Yetzias Mitzrayim, if we really stop and think about it, is mechayev us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do things for him. After so much incredible, number one, chesed, that was there on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to try in our measly ways to repay that. But even more important, if I really believe that that's the truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is around, he exists, the Torah is true. We saw him with our own two eyes, again, like that Ramban was describing the other day. So how could we not be Ovdei Hashem? It doesn't make any sense at all. It says the Rebbeinu Yonah, when a person is davening that bracha after the Shemoneh Esrei, and after the Kriya Shema, one more time, and he's saying the things about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he realizes the meaning and the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that immediately that person should, if he's actually thinking, if he actually understands what he's doing, should have that recognition of the emetkeit of Torah, the amitius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the need, like we described a second ago, to be serving, to be an Oved Hashem, to be an Eved Hashem. And says there Ben Yonah, and the person has that recognition, and says, you know what, right now I'm going to do what, at least in our days, is the quintessential avodah, which is tefillah, standing up and being espoused to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person now has basically set up his life in a system that's going to totally lead him, at least, to a real easy entry into Olam Haba. Anyone who walks around with a clear belief and a clear understanding of Hashem, as represented by Yetzias Mitzrayim, with all of its lessons that are there, and is willing to say, I'm going to act on that, I'm not just saying it, I'm going to stand up right now on the spot, boom, I got to go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so basically the person said is, I've defined myself and my life and my existence as an Eved Hashem. That's the guy who's going to get Olam Haba. That's why the Gemara says, Ze'asome v'gula l'tfila, that's the person who's a Ben Olam Haba. Well, what that Rebbeinu Yonah is teaching us over here, right, is that this halacha of smichas gula l'tfila is not just a mechanical thing. You have to make sure not to have a hefsek in between Gaul. You throw in Shemoneh Esrei, don't wait around, you got to do it right away, all that. But once again, what we're learning over here in Rebbeinu Yonah is how important it is when it comes to halacha to understand the idea behind that, to think about it, to let it be meaningful and all of that. I think we all understand, like, I really do not or shouldn't have to elaborate on this idea in the slightest bit, that if we actually sat down while we were davening and we're thinking about this and we had a mini Pesach Seder in our mind and thought about all the lessons of Emunah we were supposed to take out of Yetzias Mitzrayim every single morning by Shacharis, every single night by Maariv, and then I stand in that Shemoneh Esrei with all of that Emunah ammunition that I have tucked away in my back pocket there, that's an incredible experience, and the tefillah is no longer just the words that you say and the pages that you turn, but at Mamish has changed you, has motivated you, has moved you or something higher, and again, it's backed you into a corner that you can't run away from. This is the way it is. Of course I'm going to be an Eved Hashem. Even more than that, just to add one more point of view before we try to take a little Seder break for the next hour or so, that even more than that, we have, I think, if anyone doesn't say this, but I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense. I never saw it in a Sefer before, but to me, it has to be like this. Let's remember the Ramban that we learned last week. According to the Ramban, let's chazer this because we said this is the most important Ramban, we're supposed to know this one, and now officially we know the Ramban. According to the Ramban, what is the point and why is there such an emphasis on remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim?
That's our only real 100% proof of the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Almost, but not quite. In other words, that's true, the Ramban said it, but that wasn't the ultimate goal. There you go. The ultimate point, very good. The ultimate point of having that reference point and believing all that was to come to that recognition that everything that goes on in the world, as Ramban used the expression, there's no such thing as teva, there's no such thing as nature, it's all hakol b'gzeira, it's elyon, it's all the gzeira, vaya kadosh baruch, every last little thing that's there. And as we were describing, we're reading the Ramban basically saying living a life of dveikas, of attachment, constant involvement with the Kadosh Baruch. Just right, and remember the Ramban's lashon, mitoch hanisim hagiluyim, because of and through our understanding of the open revealed miracles, we're going to come to understand the nisim and the star, the hidden things that Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing constantly for every single person in the world. Stop and think about this idea of smichas gula tefillah. You have a really interesting parallel there. Right? It's the whole idea of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get me to believe that everything I do is Me'ez Hashem, Ha'izazot, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu is with me and doing, and all of that. So if I sit every single morning, and I have a tefillah, the bracha after Kriya Shema, it's about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we elaborate, it's not just in one word, Zeicha the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yom HaMishnah, say all paragraph, what a Kaddish Baruch Hu did, Kriya Yam, so the whole thing, during those brachas, again, read the words at least once and pay attention, you'll figure out there's a lot of stuff that's getting said over there. What's the importance of remembering that? Why is it so important to be saying that paragraph? Not just to remember, right, that there's a God in this world and He's all powerful and all of that, but as Ramban pointed out, there's another stage that's there. The jump, right, the intellectual leap to recognizing, oh, right, so if all of those things are nisim by Kaddish Baruch Hu, now I understand that everything is a nes ha-masmid, is a constant nes on behalf of Kaddish Baruch Hu. What that really means to me then, if I'm following the train of thought to its furthest extent, right, is that anything that I have in my life, the only person to turn to, and the only address that's actually there in terms of anything that's going to go on for me, is of course a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So why is there such a need to be davening a Shemona Esrei, right after I sat and meditated a little bit and concentrated on the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yetzias Mitzrayim leads me to Tefillah. Yetzias Mitzrayim leads me to this idea of, well, of course, and I'm going to turn to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and of course I'm going to ask for A, B, C, straight up until X, Y, and Z in my life through the Tefillah. Because it's Hakol B'Gzeiros Elyon, it's all Him anyway. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim taught me. So again, just to elaborate a little bit more on this Rabban Yonah that we didn't read inside, but again, I would, you really should. The Lashon is beautiful. It's a very emotional Rabban Yonah. Sam doing a goosebumps running up your spine or your arms, wherever you get goosebumps. It's Kedai to get a chill, whatever it is, don't worry about it. Read Rabban Yonah. It's an important piece of it. But just to elaborate a little bit further, right? Aside from the idea of the belief and the commitment that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is meant to give you, or the combo between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Tefillah, but that, again, in light of that Ramban, that experience of Dveikus, of total reliance on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and I think that has an even more ultimate message of the idea of Smichas Gula, the Tefillah, according to the Derech of the Rabbeinu Yonah. And again, the reason why that Nogeya taught when we're learning about Tefillah right now is of course the idea that we're trying to find ways to make the tefillahs more meaningful. Even without knowing all the details of every word and the specific, Kabbalistic kavanos and intentions of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei, but plain, simple, down-to-earth things to make the experience of davening something that we're not only looking forward to, but something that's going to be meaningful, something that's going to actually impact us and change us and influence. And this idea that thought of the Rabbeinu Yonah is something that really does have to be thought about. Now the truth is, we in theory have a little bit of time to start with this next piece of the Nefesh HaChaim here in Shar Beis Perek Yud Aleph, but we're not going to start today. The truth is, this is a massive discussion, and if we start it today, we're going to be here for another hour afterwards. I want to leave it to its own thing in and of itself. This is a majorly complicated and challenging idea, and I'm interested. We're going to pick up with that next book. Now again, like we said on whatever day it was, I don't remember like who had done what. We probably might want a little chazar over here.